All of us have gathered here today on this very, very sad day to bid a final farewell to one of our communities. I'm going to say the word. One of our community's pillars as far as acts of loving kindness go. Prominent among the features which distinguish and which are revealing signs of a moral life is the enthusiastic inclination to be as helpful, giving, and as good-natured as possible to others. This was Steve Muscatel. The Talmud, which many of you may have heard of, it's Judaism's recorded legal discussions and notations from approximately the 5th century, divides charitable acts into two distinct categories. The first category comprises the more traditional form of charity, that is tapping one's own financial resources to help those who are in need. The second aspect of charity, another category of charity, which in Hebrew is known as gevilut chasadim, acts of loving kindness, does not necessarily involve money, for it consists of providing unselfish, benevolent deeds, showing compassion and kindness to others. Period. So a question that might come to mind is one form of charity, monetary, versus acts of loving kindness, another form of charity, is one a greater form than the other? Does one have an edge or a superior ethical quality over the other? So our great sages in the Mishnah tell us, Al shelosha devarim ha'olam omed, al ha'torah, al ha'avodah, ve'al gemilut chasadim. This is from the Mishnah, which was redacted, written approximately 200 years before the Common Era, in which our scholars and our Chachamim tell us that on three aspects does the social fabric of the world sustain itself. And these three items are the Torah, our Bible, the five books of Moses, the precepts that are contained therein, and the study of the Bible, of the five books of Moses, Al Ha'avodah, on service, when we had a temple in our history, the temple sustained us, and Avodah also is Hebrew for work. When we work with our hands, we share in a creative activity of what Almighty God did when He created this world. And finally, Al-Gibilut Chasadim, on being kind and providing acts of loving kindness to others unselfishly. Steve engaged in all three of these activities unselfishly, but I'd like to focus more on the Gemilut Chasadim, his loving kindness that he provided to everybody. And as you heard earlier today, I don't think there was anyone with whom he came in contact that didn't feel his warmth and his giving personality and his character and his love of life and his humor and his down-to-earth disposition. But these two phases of charity, monetary, providing a charity to those who need, to poor people, and acts of loving kindness, are contrasted in three aspects, with three respects. First of all, monetary charity, when you give money to someone who needs money, who is poor and who needs help, it's limited to the poor. People don't give money to wealthy or the affluent. It's only for people who are in need. Whereas acts of loving kindness apply to the poor and the affluent alike. You can do an act, you can do a gesture of kindness. You can help anyone, regardless of their financial disposition. Number two, charity with monetary as the medium can only be provided by definition with money. Whereas acts of loving kindness is not limited to money. Number three, and finally, and very pointed here today, with regard to our very good friend. Charity with money can only be provided to the living. Whereas compassionate acts of loving kindness, what we call gemilut hasadim, as I mentioned before, can be provided and is provided to those who are living and to those who have passed on. And this very organization today, Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood, that facilitates these services in these very unfortunate times, provides this service to the community, and their act of benevolence, of providing charity, is specifically in the form of providing a service to those who have passed away and, of course, to their surviving families. And it is in this organization, ironically, that Steve Muscatel was so active. He was beloved to the organization, as he was beloved to his entire community and all of his friends, but he took a special interest in the Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood because it was in concert and totally congruent with his natural tendency to love people. It was an organization built for him that he required, of course, effort and time and resources, but it matched his personality because he was the natural giver of loving kindness. But his giving, his charitable acts of loving kindness, didn't stop with the Seattle Sephardic Brotherhood, because anybody who came in contact with him knew he was of the giving and loving kind of individual. I have known Steve for many, many years, and I know his family, part of his family, and his life encompassed these kinds of activities that I mentioned. But I also had the distinct honor of knowing something about Steve that probably the rest of the community did. And I won't be divulging anything that's confidential, of course, but as the Chazan of the synagogue in which many of us go to worship, I know we all remember the scene on the scenes of many years on Yom Kippur when Steve would be called to the Sefer Torah, and he loved being called up when the five books of Moses, when the scroll of the Torah were opened, and I had the good fortune of reading from it, and he'd be next to me, one of the people who was called up to the Torah. He would recite the blessings, and then specifically on Yom Kippur, the time when he would be in his glory to do this. And then I realized later, I figured it out, it really was an act of kindness what he was doing. He was getting called up, and he memorialized virtually every member of his family who had passed in prior times. And he didn't do it for himself. It was a very unselfish act, now that I reflect back on it. He did it because he wanted to please the surviving relatives of all of those deceased members of his family, because of the words that he would whisper to me at the time. Everybody could see him at the Sefer Torah, but only I could see him pull out of the list, written in his most beautiful penmanship. And I found out later he was very artistic. I didn't know that about him. Of all of the names of his family, and if he forgot somebody, he would work at the end of it. And there would be many names, unfortunately, his certain aunts, uncles, his grandparents on the Baron side, his grandparents on the Muscatel side, distant aunts and cousins, his family on his wife's family on the wife side. And when all these names were exhausted, he put his arm around me, as maybe some of you might recall, turned to me in that voice. He had a very distinct voice. Almost every word was connected by a sound before the next word. And that meant it was Steve. It was a trademark voice, vocal sound of Steve. He would put his arm around me and go, "Frankie, did I miss anybody? Is there anybody out here? How about getting this?" And Steve, you got them all. And then he would hug, and he would kiss me, and that part of the Yom Kippur was over. His attentiveness to his family, specifically to his mother during his lifetime and his father, but specifically to his mother in a very difficult time when they lost Alan. Steve was Steve. He was a great help to his family. Anybody who was a recipient of his goodness and knows what I mean. When I tell you, he learned from Silas' example, not with words, but watching the masterful, compassionate, and generosity and loving kindness, people who lived this life, his parents, Sam Muscatel, and some of them, I can say, Sue Muscatel. As you all, and many in this room I know Sue, and God should watch her. But she embodied and encompassed what giving, what compassion is. And she didn't have to tell Steve what to do. Steve learned from watching her and watching his father, Sam, who so had such an accommodating spirit. And Sue and Sam made the life for their children, Alan, Linda, and Steve. And it's so obvious that we come here to memorialize Steve, who can't help but recall that beautiful transmission from his parents. And I'm sure many in this room are not strangers to the Muscatel hospitality. As a youngster, I recall being in Sue and Sam's beautiful home in West Seattle. It was an apartment or a condominium overlooking beautiful Puget Sound and Alki. And I'm a few years younger, but I used to look up to Steve. He was the most cool guy, a young teenager. I mean, he had a nice car. He said all the right things. His timing was impeccable. He made his parents laugh, and he could just about get away with anything. And it was at this party at their home in West Seattle where Sue and Sam invited our family there. She told my father she would come by. My aunt's in town from California, just having a few friends over. This is my apartment. Please come Sunday afternoon. Beautiful. We're going to have a wonderful time. So, of course, we went, and a few friends and a few family with about 200 people in this beautiful apartment at the condominium in which she lived. And it was there where I, for some reason, remember very specifically a portrait of, was alluded to earlier today, of a very, very handsome couple known as Steve and Debbie. They weren't married at the time, but I saw this really cool guy with this really cool girl, and they could have been a picture in Hollywood. Because, and to this day, Steve and Debbie, as I know Steve Condiati alluded to it, Debbie, you were the love of his life, and even not seeing you as often as one, as some of your friends see you, I know every time we do see you, it's Steve and Debbie, and you were this fairy tale picture book of a couple. And you need to hang on, and I know you will, you don't need me to tell you this, you're going to hang on to those memories, and that will provide you tremendous happiness. You have this uncanny ability, and it's probably what Steve saw in you, and it's what King Solomon wrote in chapter 31 of Proverbs. And King Solomon was one of the great wise personalities of our Jewish tradition, and he writes in chapter 31 of Mishlei, in the book of Mishlei, Sefer Mishlei, in Proverbs, all of the Hadar Nezushah, Batishak, Leom Acharon. Steve, I know, knew this in you, that strength and dignity are your clothing. And you are not fearful of the future. You laugh at the days to come. You don't fear what's in front of you. And he knew about your inner strength, and he certainly knew about your contagious smile, and everybody has to know about your strength and dignity because you embody that as well. In Judaism, we know about trying to provide comfort to those in need, about giving chesed. Excuse me. And we try very hard. We want to go into people's hearts and go into people's minds, especially those who are dear to us, and take away the pain, and take away the sorrow, and take away the grief. But it's impossible. And we are even cautioned to attempt so. Which is why, when the sorrow that we are all feeling, and it certainly does represent a breach in the harmony of life, really there aren't words that we can say to fully take away the state of mind, to take away the pain in all of us, but of course, more specifically, the family that was so close to Steve, his loving and charming wife, Debbie, and his children, Samantha and Taylor, and his sister, Linda. There is nothing we can say, but we do say, because we attribute this pain as to real pain, but the best thing we can say to offer you comfort is Mi Hashamayim in Muhammad. Because we as a community, we as a people realize that this pain too shall pass, but it can only pass with the helping hand of God Almighty. And we realize that pain, sorrow, and grief are real, and on this world, it is something that can only be cured and taken away by God Himself, and He will. And we look forward, and you should look forward, and I know everybody here shares me in prayer and blessings to you, that your life from this point forward, Debbie, Taylor, Samantha, Linda, the entire extended family, that you should only see happiness and bask in the glow of the warmth and beauty that is being born. Tehei nishmato tzedura b'tzorah chayim v'gan eden. May his soul be bound up in the bond of life eternal. Amen.